Today, dear brethren, we're going to do a little reflection on the holy of the tabernacle that was directed by God's instruction to Israel in their wilderness journey to recall what the Father has provided to develop a very special relationship of divine sonship with Him. This room, called the holy, shows how our relationship with our Father can be more mature over time in our consecrated walk, and eventually crystallize as a son, crystallize and eventually be fully sealed and become justified in the Spirit as our Master was, 1 Timothy 3:16. You might like to look up justified in the Spirit. It's something that we don't hear very often. Brother Russell talks about this, which is different than the justification we normally speak about. If you look at reprint 5960 at the top, you'll see what Brother Russell had to say and how the church relates like their master along these lines. It's 5960 at the top. I'm sure you remember how many pieces of furniture were in the holy of the tabernacle, right? Can you name them? Let's start on the right side as you enter. There we have what? Yes, we have the golden table of showbread, which piece of furniture would we have on the left, on the other side? Well, that's right. We have the golden candlestick or golden lampstand, as some say it. And then, of course, we have what piece of furniture in the center near the curtain leading to the most holy? Yes, again, that is correct. It's the golden incense altar. And by the way, what was the covering of all these furniture items? It was gold, wasn't it? And what does gold represent? Something divine. Something divine. Now, I know all of you know what these furniture pieces represent and can identify some of them and perhaps all of them and the various features. For example, to my understanding, the golden candlestick, which basically represents Christ and the church and the seven stages of the church, is something that you've looked at many times. I understand it was all hammered gold from one golden piece, representing the oneness of the body. I understand that these lamps or burners apparently have wicks. The wicks were fed by oil, which burned continuously. Our dear Jesus wants our development as God's sons. He's our advocate and fellow yoke bearer in our Christian journey. Our high priest, Christ Jesus, has been trimming the representative wicks of the old nature of the body members throughout this gospel age, morning and evening. He's been trimming you and he's been trimming me. The golden candlestick was beautiful with detailed fruit and flower. The Holy Spirit is represented, in the light and the holy oil that feeds the illumination of that light that comes forth from these seven branch-like pieces. That oil and its light was for who? Well, it was for the priests only, wasn't it? Then we have on the right side, the table of showbread. And of course, you have the 12 loaves arranged, we believe, in two stacks of six, suggesting the 66 books of the Bible. And I understand that the table of showbread itself represents again Christ and the church upholding that word of God in our knees in a very humble appreciation of this divine grace, the unmerited favor that has been offered to us through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Did any of us deserve this? No, none of us did. It's all by grace. The unmerited favor that he's given to us, God's amazing grace. So I ask you, what do we have or who are we that we should be given such an incredible invitation as this? And then how do we show our appreciation for such divine grace and privilege? What is our reasonable reciprocation of appreciation for such grace? I think Romans 12:1 answers that question, doesn't it? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In this picture of the holy that we speak about, we ask, how do I cultivate this divine sonship in my walk as a new creature in Christ Jesus? Or how can I improve my relationship? And not just our relationship with the Father, but what about our personal relationship with his beloved Son? Just take 20 minutes of your time to meditate on those questions, brother. We talk to our Lord, our Heavenly Father, but I ask you, how often do we talk with Jesus, our Heavenly Bridegroom, our High Priest, and our Advocate, our Elder Brother? Let me ask you this. How many good relationships do you have where you hardly ever or never speak to or communicate directly with that individual? Do you have any? What about Jesus? What about Jesus? We sing, he walks with me and he talks with me, don't we? But how often do you and I actually talk with Jesus? Not nearly enough, I imagine. Not nearly enough. You might like to look at what Brother Russell said about this in Question Book 540. Question Book 540. Now, I see the table of showbread, right? And I feed upon the energizing words of life that give me clarity or enlightenment of this divine expectation my Father has given me in drawing me closer and closer to the intimate relationship I seek to capture. I internalize the truth and the holy energizing power of the scriptures. I pray more and more, and I stimulate myself with study meetings, discourses, and the meet in due season. I try to talk to Jesus once in a while because he is the door, he is the way, he is the life, the truth. Jesus Christ is my very own and my very precious advocate with the Father, and I know he's yours. 1 John 2:1. But how do we become more like Jesus to see our way to the expectations of our Father's direction to sonship? We look over at the table of showbread, and there we see what? 12 loaves of showbread, we suggest, stacked in two stacks or piles of six. If we place six next to six, it looks like what? 66, exactly. I believe that is a great way God shows us the 66 books of the Bible. Then there are the mortification of the flesh shown in the trimming of the wicks of the golden candlestick. Brother Ken Rawson used to say, our new creature only grows at the expense of the flesh. But we grow in what? We grow in grace and knowledge, right? We grow in grace and knowledge. As bread becomes fuel for the body's energy needs, so too this spiritual bread must be internalized into our minds and hearts to supply the rich spiritual energy for growth in this relationship. Like our physical bodies, the more pure the nutrients of truth that we internalize, the healthier our spiritual minds will be. And like the queen bee in the world of insects, the more of the royal jelly properly applied and ingested, the more we can grow in the favor and the relationship in sonship with our beloved Father. We don't want to be a dwarf bee, do we? But how do we gain more of this light to see our way to the expectations of our Father's direction in the sonship journey? Again, we look over at the table of showbread, right? And there we see the 12 loaves of showbread, a beautiful nourishing doctrines of truth that the Lord has given to us. The words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Jeremiah 15:16. Do you feel spiritually weak at times? I do. Then let us eat and be nourished. Another thing I learned from Brother Ken was this. When we pray, we talk to God. When we study, God talks to us. Let us study God's word more. Let us hear him talking to us, encouraging us and strengthening us and healing our hearts with his divine balm for our souls. Get your energy level up by the spiritual ingestion needed to not feel spiritually weak. He feeds you with the wonderful words of life in the scriptures and the beautiful promises that he's given to us. Satan doesn't want you to read because he knows that's where your strength comes from. Spiritual energy creates potential energy for growth and activity in the Lord's character and service, for a transformational change, a transformational change of your mind into the mind of Christ. It takes effort. It takes discipline and resolve to sacrifice time for refueling and growing the new creature into the full sonship God desires. And if you're not a reader, at least show God a good effort at trying to be. God rather puts a premium, dear brother, on your faith, your effort to know his word, and your daily prayerful efforts of application of what you've learned. The more your mind and heart align with the Bible, the more your relationship grows with God, your dear Father. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and unto my path. Read the Bible, read the volumes and the reprints, listen to talks, and make them accessible to your convenience when you have or can take a few moments to commune with your Heavenly Father. Again, not all of us are readers, but let us do the best we can to ingest the spiritual energy of God's truth in what the best way that we can. The Lord knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses, our time, and our opportunities, and he assesses us accordingly. But let us all make straight paths for our feet. Let us follow the light from the lighthouse of the Holy Scriptures. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. These wonderful words of life and direction teach me how to pray and teach me the character and the spirit of my Father, so I better understand what he is looking for in his son, so I can better conform to the expectations and more fully grasp the privilege of communion and fellowship with him. Do you and I want to find the Father? Then why do some of us search for him with part of our heart? What do the scriptures say? Is that the way we find the Father, with part of our heart? Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. How hard do we search, dear friends? How hard do we all work at our consecrations? So, here we see the means by which we can cultivate a divine relationship with our Father. We feed upon the showbread, or the divine words of life from the table of showbread, the holy nutrients for a new creature. And the more we understand and apply these words, the more we are able to be enlightened by the holy enlightenment given us by the light coming from the golden candlesticks. And the more of the sanctifying by the word and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit we have, the more we can offer up acceptable prayers of sweet incense to the Father, Abba Father, prayers that have a fragrant compliance and submission to the will and direction of our Father. We learn to pray in a manner and an expression more and more acceptable. Prayers of a son, reverent and unselfish prayers, educated in the school of Christ, educated by walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14. And what is the divine prayer relationship of sons based upon? It's based upon our faith in the imputed merit of our Lord Jesus, the absolutely incredible value of that merit. So we have been looking from side to side in the holy and speaking about the furniture in the holy. But you know what? If we look up, we see a number of coverings over us, don't we? Along what lines? Let's take a look. We see coverings of goat hair, right? We see seal skins and white linen, yes. And what else? Yes, it's the ram skins dyed red. Yes, a very important covering over you and I, brethren, in the holy, was this ram skins dyed red. Now, what do you think the red represents? Well, it represents the ransom, doesn't it? The appropriate ransom merit of our Lord's sacrifice. Here, only in the holy, we believe you have this covering over you. You're covered by the blood of the imputed merit of our Lord, represented in the ram skins dyed red. Romans 5:9. Much more than be now justified by his blood. I call it a blood justification. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Abraham had imputed merit. Romans 4:22, and that's clear to us. He had a righteous standing with God, as it says in that verse. But was it a blood justification? No, it couldn't be. Why? Because the blood of Jesus wasn't shed in his time. We are under the blood. We have a blood justification in the holy. We have a covering above us of what? Ram skins dyed red. This blood justification gives us a special standing of sonship, not friendship like Abraham had. Romans 5:9 and James 2:23. This is the way I see the scriptures, dear friends. And because of this blood justification, we are spirit-minded, new creatures in Christ, with full sonship rights and a relationship with our precious Father. It's a legal relationship. We've made a covenant by sacrifice, haven't we? Psalms 50, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, and what? Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Brethren, that light coming from the golden candlestick is the Holy Spirit, the holy energizing power of God. And we are spirit-minded human beings, but God only looks at us. He only chooses to look at us as new creatures. He knows our frame as humans, but he chooses to only look at us according to the Spirit. He only chooses to look at us as legitimate spirit-minded sons. Romans 8:14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the sons of God, not servants. Romans 8:15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father. Brethren, what a very special privilege we have. 1 John 3:1 just continually reaches out and grabs my heart. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, as we understand and internalize this divine provision and mercy of God's character, and then see his expectations, we can make better choices and understand how to pray to our Father and what to pray for. Prayer is so very vital to our relationship with God. It's like the air we breathe. Some days I don't pray enough. What about you? I get short of breath with discouragements in myself or wrapped up in my weaknesses and my failings. However, I believe the more prayer, the more the blessings, the more the strength, the more the peace and the reassurance that the Father himself loveth me and he loveth you. And I'm confident that he is both willing and able to finish the work that he has started within me and that he has started within you. He'll never give up on me, never. And I'll never give up on him. So the golden incense altar is a representation in part of what? Our fragrant prayers, right? Our fragrant prayers going up to God. The incense rising above and over the second veil, whereby again we cry, Abba, Father. As sons, he hears our faintest cry to him. And with the attentive eyes on us of our every concern, like the very best father you could possibly imagine, for we are his children. We are joint heirs with Christ if we can demonstrate our very best compliance with his will, even our willingness to suffer to prove our loyalty, suffer the way Christ did. And we read from Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. If you like, email me and I'll send you a poem called Bearing the Marks of Jesus. You might appreciate it. Bearing the Marks of Jesus. You know, our prayers can go continually to God right through our Lord Jesus. As the sweet incense permeates over that second veil and into the most holy, where God's presence is represented as what? Yes, it's represented as the Shekinah glory. This was a majestic light that radiated between the cherubims of love and power, kneeling on the mercy seat, looking toward the propitiatory place, waiting for something. We'll talk about that more later on today. Below the Shekinah glory rested a solid gold slab we call the propitiatory seat of God's justice. And then below that, the Ark of the Covenant, which I believe represented the eternal purpose of God in Christ and his bride. Question, did you know that Jehovah was represented not only with the Shekinah light, but together with the two cherubims as well? Read for yourself, Tabernacle Shadows, page 124 at the top. I understand these are showing God's attributes in part, namely love and power, and justice represented in the gold slab or mercy seat. The glory light of the Shekinah represented Jehovah himself, the light of the universe. Remember, Jesus is the light of the world, but God is the light of the universe, with, I submit, his wisdom, justice, love, and power, all shown there. God's four attributes, his main ones. Psalms 80 verse 1, 1 Samuel 4:4, 2 Samuel 6:2, and Isaiah 37:16. We suggest that the Shekinah light also might have represented, again, Jehovah's attribute of wisdom there in of itself. This mercy seat was one solid gold piece, from what I understand. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So here we see the ultimate relationship, that if the maturation of your new creature in the holy fully gestates, so to speak, we eventuate in the royal divine family. Think of that. God and his attributes represented in everything above, including the propitiatory or mercy seat of justice. Colossians 1:24 and Ephesians 1:10. Then the ark itself represented Christ and the glorified church and the divine purpose in them. There's the gold award winning family of all, dear brethren, the final divine family of God. Talk about relationships. What would you do in part of that to be part of that family? From the time of our consecrations, dear friends, God is still asking us, what will you render unto me for all the benefits that I have given you? Proportionally, your reward will be given. If faithful in fully developing this embryonic new creature, making a good effort at the full sanctification process God has made available to us, many will eventually be partakers of the divine nature, right? Represented how? Represented in the golden pot of manna you see here, contained inside. We might say the hidden manna. And so let's read what is part of the reward of these sons of God. Revelation 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the, notice, the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now, I don't know about you, but I really want to have that symbolic white stone with my name on it. Don't you? Our reading of the scriptures tells us that God is looking for individuals that love him with some of their heart, right? No, dear friends. Sons must love him with, I can hardly say it, with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their strength and with all their mind. Are we all doing that? Can we demonstrate this to God in any more ways than we are presently doing? A question for introspection, a question for immediate attention of mind and heart and prayer, given the day and time that we live. Remember, as it is said before and said before, nothing changes unless something changes. In other words, if you and I keep doing what we're doing day after day and do not make attempts to improve our relationship with Jehovah's sons, then our relationship will become stagnant in the same place as we've had it day after day, year after year? Have we all come to a perfectly satisfactory relationship, brethren? Or can we improve it? The question for all of us who are running for the prize is, like the butterfly illustration, what exactly are we going to change this year, even today, to improve our divine relationship and favor with our loving Heavenly Father? Can we develop better study habits, go to more meetings, counter many blessings throughout the day, serve or sacrifice more, target fruits of the Spirit we would like to improve upon, maybe pray more often? What can we do differently starting this week that improves our relationship with our Father even more? Be transformed. You may have a good relationship, fellowship with your Father, but can it become a great relationship? Can it get any better? I suspect that most of us would admit that it could get even better. That's our target, to grow in this divine relationship with our Father as a very special child to Him. Submissive, uncomplaining, trustful, patient, more loving and kind, even to the undeserving. More forgiving, even as we ask God to forgive us, giving others the benefit of the doubt. Dismantling pride. There is a wonderful relationship and care a Christian son can experience by choosing and keeping a path of zealous, vibrant consecrations in the holy. And by claiming the promises that Jehovah God has given us and the loving kindness of our Father's heart, embracing spirit, His embracing providence. The scriptures tell us that God co-labors with us, brethren, in developing the skills of sonship and the character attributes that can be attained through study and focused application. Notice this working relationship in 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Think about that. You don't have to do it all by yourself. Jehovah God Himself, your Father, is personally assisting you and me in this whole process of sanctification, in the whole process of transformational change like that butterfly. And His only directly created Son has volunteered to share that yoke with us, to help pull our load. That should not only encourage you and I, but make us very humble in this very special relationship that we have. What a great God we have. It will be a testimony of how His wondrous truth has captured us and given us a greater faith and confidence in the testimony of the scriptures than we could ever have gained elsewhere in another path of life. God has infused the scriptures with His Spirit. They're an extension of God Himself in a way, His personality, His true character, and He wants to share that with His sons. This path of trust and faith in God's promises give direction to the watchful Christian who is attentive to their Father's eye and sensitive to the impulses of the Holy Spirit, of which we should be praying more and more. Our confidence in God becomes our rudder to navigate through many faith testing experiences in our life. Luke 11:9-13. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells sons to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In some of thy ways acknowledge Him. Oh, wait, did I read that wrong again? No. And what? In all thy ways, right? Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So you see, that trust is our rudder. Trust and confidence being synonymous. A son who is fully believing is a son who is fully receiving. So by fully trusting the promises and the truth that we've been given, and having full heart reliance on God and His strength, instead of our own self-reliance, our self-achievements, if looking for our Father's eye of direction in the scriptures and His providential circumstances of our lives, we have found a peace in God's direction and promise that all things do work together for good, for our good as a new creature, right? And why? Because we love God. We have faith in our Father and try to keep our covenant vows to the very best of our abilities. Because the Son strives to perfect their intentions, of being completely submerged into his will more and more each day of their lives, submitting to whatever experiences that he may permit. A son who is fully submerged into his father's will can know no disappointment. Faith goes a long ways with God. He places a premium on your and my faith in him. So this is something we might daily ask ourselves. Am I fully submerged into what I think is God's will? If that is your daily intention when you are walking in your master's footsteps, then you are. You are walking in his footsteps and doing your personal best. That's what he's looking for. Like your master, spoken in Hebrews 10:7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. That's your intention. Oh, you come short and you have weaknesses just like I do. But he covers us. Remember, we're covered by the blood. He's looking for the perfection of our intentions and our efforts. And what is God's will for us? 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God. What? Even your sanctification. And what is sanctification? But a setting apart from the worldly thinking, from worldly speech habits, worldly hopes, aims, and ambitions. It's a displacement of the flesh with a replacement of the spirit. It's also a matter of developing holiness in Christ's likeness. His will is, be holy, for I am holy. For us to have a close relationship as sons with Jehovah our Father, we need to understand and distinguish what is holy and what is not. The Bible teaches us that our degree of sanctification after consecration increases or decreases our divine relationship with our Father in heaven. I see our time is running out, so I'm going to move ahead. Finally, I could give a whole talk about the importance of prayer in a divine relationship, but I guess I already did that at another convention, and so have many others. How very important it is to all of us to develop our prayer life with our Heavenly Father. You can't have a strong relationship with God, your Father, without having a strong relationship of prayer. That in part is what the incense altar was all about that we mentioned earlier. Frequency and fervency of heartfelt, spiritually educated prayers are imperative in gaining ground in this relationship of sonship. James 5:16 says in part, the effectual fervent prayer, doesn't just say prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not merely from the lips, but praying with persistence and full faith, with an earnest, humble heart. We must thirst for our Father's love, his attention and acceptance. Isaiah 55:3 and Psalms 42:1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. Think for a moment, dear brethren, of the memory that never fails, of the judgment that never errs, of the wisdom that plans for eternity without the possibility of failure, and that times that plan with unerring precision for the ages to come, of the power and skill which can harness every opposing element, animate or inanimate, and make them all work together for the accomplishment of his grand designs, of the tireless vigilance that never ceases, nor seeks relief from the pressing cares of universal dominion, whose eye never sleeps, whose ear is ever open, and who is ever cognizant of all the necessities and active in all the interests of his broad domains. And this incredible supreme being wants to be your Father forever and ever. Wow. I guess we really need to stop. So, brethren, in summary then, what we're trying to show here in standing in the holy is this. It's not just about being able to name all these different parts and all these different features as we've learned over the years. As you know, and as I came to a realization, it's about God wanting to develop a relationship with us. And he gives us the tools, the means of how to do that right here shown in this beautiful holy condition. He gives us the justifying mirror with those ram skins dyed red over us. He gives us that standing with him. It's a legal standing. He gives us the showbread and allows us to feed upon his word and teaches the very convolutions of his thinking. He aligns us with the Holy Spirit, right? And our master trims our wicks so that more and more we can get rid of the flesh. And then we see the beauty of his attributes, in the most holy. We see those different cherubims, and we see the slab on the mercy seat, and we see the wisdom of the Shekinah glory. Our prayers go up from the incense altar, and the more and more that we grow in this relationship, the more beautiful those prayers are to Him. It's all about a relationship with Jehovah God, that He wants to be your Father, and He wants you to be part of His plan, of His very wonderful divine family. And brethren, let this hope sink down deeply into you, and may it all help us to more fully appreciate the invitation that God has given unto you. For we know that, you know, all of this is going to work together for good, for the ultimate blessing of the world of mankind in the end. We're only the means to the end, but the world, making man more precious than the golden wedge of Ophir, is the ultimate result, is the end, that God is developing in part this divine family for. May we all be a part of that divine family. May we all find and make our calling and election sure. And to God be the glory. Amen.